1515 Now proudly presents the Backlash Review. It is your boys over here, me, Stir the Pearl.
It's Miller.
EJ the King.
Jay Fields is out of town, so he won't be able to record with us this podcast. Backlash took place in Newark, New Jersey.
Jersey.
Phil, sorry. Yeah. Good crowd. They was rough and raucous in the beginning. They started off well. They were still pretty good, regardless of the show that they got. They were still a pretty good crowd. I give them that. I give them their props for that. And they didn't have to be. They could have took over that damn pay per view if they wanted to, but they didn't. So kudos to Newark, New Jersey. Yep. But anyway, Miller, you got the lineup up. You want to go ahead and scroll through that real quick?
Starting off, we opened up the show. I'm not sure if either of you watched the pre-match show.
I did.
Did you guys watch Ruby Riott versus Bayley?
I watched it.
I think I did, though.
All right. Well, we had Ruby Riott, I'm going to get her name without messing it up, defeating Bayley. How did you feel about that match, Stir?
I did not like it. Once again, it was much like on Raw the previous week, where Sasha and Ruby Riott had a match. I was disappointed. I expected more. And this is a good thing for the women. I mean, I hope they don't take it as something where I'm just talking shit. But I expect great things when they get in the ring, regardless if it's on the pre-show or on the main show. But I seen Ruby Riott botch twice in that match. I seen the place just not as fast as it should be. Just not no fluidity. And I was just a bit disappointed. Just didn't like it. Wasn't feeling it. Just wasn't feeling it at all. Yeah. That's my take.
EJ?
It was a solid TV show match to me. I mean, nothing spectacular, nothing out of the way. I was actually happy with the results. You know, I am a Ruby Riott fan, but unfortunately, Bayley had to take that L. So, I mean, like I said, this is really nothing you can take out of this match. You can sit there and say, man, I remember this. Like I said, I had to remember if I watched it, but I just recall my friends saying, damn, Bayley lost again. I was like, oh, yeah, she did lose. So, evidently, I did watch the match. But there really wasn't nothing that stood out for me to sit there and actually want to keep talking about, even though I'm still talking right now, so I'm just stop talking.
I kind of feel the same as both of you. Still, I think this match was a little bit different for me than the Ruby Riott Sasha Banks match, because that was a Raw match and I expected more coming from a pay-per-view, even if it was pre-show. So I kind of feel the same in that aspect. But then again, you know, it's one of those things where I don't really know that they even know what direction they want to go with Bayley. If you want to look too far ahead, at Raw when, you know, she came down and saved Sasha Banks, I'm like, okay, what was that about? But that's a different, you know, story. But all in all, yeah, I thought this match could have been a lot better. It got time, too. It got 10 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah. Thoroughly disappointed in that match, though.
Thoroughly. All right. Well, moving on to a match that I think we all can kind of say was the match of the night, pretty much. You know, after I rewatched it, I think it's a match of the year candidate. Seth Rollins successfully defended the WWE Intercontinental Championship against The Miz in an amazing match. That's all I'm really going to say about it. Seth Rollins is on, like, a roll, man. Like, this dude right now, he's one of the best. But I'll start out with you, EJ. How do you feel about this match, sir?
Just like you just ended, he's on a roll. I mean, I feel they're doing something with Seth Rollins. I guess they're building him up. I don't know what direction they're really going to go after that. But to the match, man, I mean, they gave him, I mean, you probably got the match time, but, like, it was almost 30 minutes. They actually gave him a lot of time. I'm sitting there like, this match is still going on. And it's great, like, the whole time. I didn't get bored in 1 minute. So the fact that, you know, like I said, they gave him that time, and it was so many near falls. The fact that Seth Rollins kicked out a Skull Crusher finale twice, even the one off the top ropes. I mean, like, it was crazy, you know. So I'm like, I actually think Miz about to get this record and everything. Like, it had me on the edge of my seat, and that's exactly what type of feeling I want watching a wrestling match, especially watching a wrestling match from WWE, which I'm very familiar of. So, I mean, it did everything it's supposed to do. I'm excited for, like I said, the direction of what they're going to do with Seth Rollins. I'm just curious to see. So, yeah, great match. I think if anybody cares to know, Dave Meltzer gave like a 4.25.
Yeah.
And that's pretty, you know, that's pretty damn good. You know, so.
He gave it a what?
4.25.
4.25?
4.25.
4.25,
man.
Only Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
Only Dave Meltzer would give out a grade like that. I mean, he just couldn't just give it a 4.3. He couldn't just give it a 4 or just a 5. This
if you give a match 6 stars, then he can give it a 4. alright, Sterl, how'd you feel about this match?
Man, I think EJ hit it on the head when he said that it made you believe that The Miz was going to break Chris Jericho's record and hold that title, or tie it. I think he's going to tie Chris Jericho's record. And that's the type of match that you should always get. We forgot that they're not going to have both the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title on the same show. So
right.
you forget that shit. I was about to say John Cena, but Seth Rollins was actually, we already knew that he was going to win that match. It made you forget that though, because that's how good that match was. It made you feel like, damn, maybe The Miz might pull us out. Maybe WWE is going to throw us a swerve and they're going to actually have the IC title and the US title on the same show and shit like that. But this match made you sit there and think, like, damn, are they going to do something different? What are they going to do? And that's the type of shit that we should always see. This match was so damn good. It was back and forth. You had The Miz kept avoiding the damn curb stomp. You had Seth Rollins kicking out of the damn Skull Crushing finale and stuff like that. It was just so many things that was going on. And I bet, Miller, you would never think or thought that you would see the day where you sit there and be like, fuck, The Miz is in a match of the year candidate type thing. Like, that's how good this match was. And Seth Rollins is obviously on the roll. Is he benefiting a little bit with how they booking and everything? Yeah. But he's going out there and he's still tearing down the house, because you can, how they book it.
From the booking, but he's right, going out there. He still got to go out there and perform.
Mojo Riley, you're doing something. Right. You made that match against Mojo Riley look good. Obviously, those three matches against Finn Balor, fucking dope. This match against The Miz, I mean, he's just going out there. He's performing. The ladder match, going out there performing day in and day out. He is right now up there with AJ Styles as the workhorse of WWE. And at one point, you know, obviously that was Dean Ambrose. That dude was there day in and day out. No injuries until recent, which he should be making his return sometime soon. I would probably expect him back during SummerSlam. And let's see how they intertwine that whole thing, because I think he's going to be on Raw. The rumor is they probably want a triple threat match between Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins for the championship at WrestleMania. And let's see if they take it that far. The only thing that's going to suck is that we're going to have another year of Roman Reigns headlining fucking WrestleMania and shit. But if they make the storyline good, maybe I will look past it. I doubt I could, but maybe I will.
Okay. All right. So next up, we had
what do you think, motherfucker? Shit.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was an amazing match. That was it. There wasn't much to be said. I mean, he's on the road.
My bad. I just cussed you out for no reason then.
Man,
shit. You getting it today, man? My fault, man. I didn't really get much sleep. I'm sorry.
You're cussing people out. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. Yeah. The Women's Championship match. was next. Nia Jax successfully defended it against Alexa Bliss. Sterling.
This match was so fucking trash, I couldn't believe I was watching it. I couldn't believe that. Man, and the crazy thing is, one, it's not a knock on Nia, it's not a knock on Alexa. I think their previous match was actually pretty good. The one at WrestleMania was good. And then Nia and her matches against Asuka, obviously Alexa and all her matches, the match against Charlotte and stuff like that. It's not like you don't know that they can get in that ring and they can go. But for whatever reason, especially for them to be best friends, it was just like the chemistry wasn't there. The way the match was supposed to go wasn't good. I don't know what was going on, man, but I was thoroughly disappointed. Like, out of all the matches of the night, this one, I would have to say both women's matches disappointed me the most, but this one right here was just flat out. No, I won't say both women's matches. It was another thing that happened on Backlash that just thoroughly disappointed me. But this shit right here was just fucking trash, and I expected more, especially when you got the time. It was just, I don't know, man. I don't know why they booked it that way. It was a head scratcher. It was one of those things where it's like, what the fuck are y'all doing? What are y'all writing? What story are you trying to tell? What are you trying to give me? What are you trying to make me believe in? Because it was like Alexa got all offense in, and then Nia just came out on top at the end. And it was like, you know, are we trying to book Alexa as still that threat to take the title off her? I think you could do that with a back and forth match. To me, it just made Nia look more weak than strong, just with how they booked this match. And what is their end game? The plan is because they want to have Ronda Rousey eventually take that title off of Nia Jax. I just don't get it. I don't know. I just want to entertain the match, and they just didn't give it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not going to argue with Sterling on that one. Definitely a match that disappointed my expectations. And I felt the same. I had the same theory you had as well, Sterling, about y'all best friends, y'all hang out all the time. Like, y'all couldn't come up with a better match than that. And, like, you know, it just kind of, that result kind of just left a sour taste in my mouth. And, like, I really wasn't entertaining the match at all. And I think the joy of the match, like you said, or somebody said, that Nia had the upper hand. It really wasn't no contest. It wasn't, like, a threat. I mean, I don't think anybody picked Alexa Bliss winning this match. But anyway, regardless, I mean, definitely a match I could have dealt without. They could have gave Seth Rollins and Miz 30 more minutes besides having that shit on. So, I mean, anyway, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was like watching the match. It just never picked up. It never got to the high point. And there were a few spots in it. But for the most part, it was one of those matches that just never felt like it got going. I don't necessarily blame them 100% because knowing the WWE style, and I hate to always blame them, but the way that it is, I feel like the producers or the agents in the back have more say-so of what you do in the match than the wrestlers actually do.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the way they wanted to tell the story, depending on who produced the match, you get what you get. But I agree, the chemistry fell off, and that's the part that I kind of agree with y'all. I don't understand, if you're best friends, how your chemistry could be that off. But we'll see how it continues and where everything goes with the Raw Women's Championship. So, we have the WWE United States Championship match. Jeff Hardy successfully defended the championship against Randy Orton. Since this is a SmackDown match, I'm going to go with EJ first. EJ, how do you feel about this match?
decent match. Pretty good. It was one of the matches before, I guess, the Going Home show I was actually a little interested in, and then especially when Randy Orton had the upper hand and hit the RKO out of nowhere, surprisingly, on Jeff Hardy. That was cool. But like I said, the match was pretty decent. Like, the result was what I thought it would be. But other than that, I mean, like I said, it was just a pretty good match. I mean, I can't really speak too much on it, you know.
It wasn't like anything groundbreaking. I think the most surprising thing for me was how Jeff Hardy won clean. Then again, what other direction were you going to go? So that was kind of cool.
Right.
I guess, in my opinion, though, I think that they could have done more to build maybe another contender. I'm not 100% sure, like, what the idea or, like, plan behind the U.S. Championship is. With it.
Mm-hmm.
Sterl, how'd you feel about the match, sir?
It was a decent match. Didn't shock me that Jeff Hardy went over. Yeah, it was just another match to me. I don't think they did anything groundbreaking or you know, they ain't showed me nothing new. It was just a match. I mean, it was
just a match.
Yeah, it was a TV match. It wasn't a pay-per-view-esque type of title defense. It was like something that should have just been on SmackDown or Raw or whatever. You know, that was the type of match. Wasn't nothing special, but I mean, I compare it to game manager. When we talk about quarterbacks being game manager, this is what that match was. It was a game manager. It was like, we're not going to probably give you the greatest show, but we're not going to fuck it up neither. And that's how I feel about this match.
Okay. Mm. All right, so next up, we have Big Cass making his, I guess you would say, return per se to pay-per-view with his new character. He went against Daniel Bryan, another SmackDown match. Daniel Bryan ended up winning by submission. I guess I'll start with myself first, just because, you know, everything that's Daniel Bryan makes me happy. It was better than I thought it would be, because I thought it would be a lot more clunky and a mismatch. But, you know, Daniel Bryan has his way of making matches believable as far as the small guy going against the little guy, especially the way he tried to chop him down. So I like that. It's kind of, I don't want to say I was afraid, but my thought was I wouldn't be surprised if Big Cass went over, and he didn't. And considering what happened on SmackDown, which I'm sure you guys talked about on GTS, so I'm not going to go deep into it. It's kind of cool that they're building this hierarchy, it feels like, with SmackDown, in my opinion, when they do the way that they're doing stuff. So with that being said, this match for me was better than expected. Was it a 5-star match? No. But I didn't expect it to be, but I also didn't expect it to be as entertaining as it was, especially with the strategy behind everything. And then Big Cass tapping was a surprise. EJ, since SmackDown, I'm going to go with you first. How'd you feel about it, sir?
Pretty much the same way you felt. Like I said, it was a match I was looking forward to. Like, you know, this is basically, besides WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan's first pay-per-view back. So it was exciting. Just even, like, if I can relate to far as what happened on SmackDown, just seeing him backstage, you know, getting pumped and getting ready for a match is like bringing back all time. So I'm happy about that. But the fact that, you know, like I said, back to the Backlash matches, it was pretty cool. You know, the fact that this match was going on, and like I said, it wasn't that bad, but like it wasn't nothing spectacular. But definitely the end result of the match surprised the hell out of me, especially him tapping. And like I said, I think I picked, unfortunately, Big Cass to win this match, but plans change otherwise, so I mean, but I'm happy, because I don't really feel like, especially after what Big Cass, the promo he dropped on the Going Home show really just got me out of his corner. Like, I was like, dude, no. And I spoke on that on GTS. I'm like, dude, you had me last week. You had me hooked. And then all of a sudden, you just threw me back in the water, dude. Like, let me go. That's how I felt.
Yeah. Sterl?
I'm going to be a harsher critic of this.
Uh-oh.
Here's my thing about this shit. You didn't show Big Cass display anything, really, to me. Daniel Bryan displayed obviously all his wrestling acumen and stuff like that. But I really didn't get that from Big Cass. And oftentimes we always, you know, with Roman Reigns, I always talk about, you know, you turn him heel, maybe we can do something different with him. But at the end of the day, sometimes when you get in that ring, it's all about the wrestling. And the one thing I would say that I would always give Roman Reigns, that the one thing I would give Roman Reigns is this. This dude can get in the ring. He can sell. That dude can sell pretty damn good. I'm not going to ever knock him for that. I'm never going to sit there and be like, shit on him for that stuff. I always think that he's still not ready. I mean, I think offensively, he just doesn't have the moveset. I think the storytelling for him is trash. It's always going to be trash until they decide to do something else different. With Big Cass, this is one of those things where I kind of wanted to give him a chance. But look, when you get thrusted in the limelight, you got to go against one of the best, if not the best, wrestler in the world or even all time. I mean, that's how dope Daniel Bryan is and stuff like that. His place in history has already been cemented, and he didn't even have to come back from that injury and stuff like that. What Daniel Bryan is what he is. He's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. So when you're going and you're trying to thrust Big Cass in that moment, you got to hope and you better know that this dude can handle that moment, and he did not handle that moment whatsoever. And for you, and WWE, you got to stop doing this shit. You got to stop. Just because he's a big dude, 7 foot tall and shit like that, doesn't mean that he can go in there and do the things that you need him or want him to do. I mean, you failed in this shit before. Remember Giant Gonzalez? Come on now. Let's not act like just because these people are big and stuff like that, that they can just go in there and they can sell and shit like that. I mean, the good thing is Big Cass ain't walking out there with a spray-painted fucking suit showing that he had a six-pack or whatever and stuff like that. Glad they're not doing all that. But
thank God.
But come on, man. Like, no, he cannot handle the spotlight. If you wanted him to be thrusted in that moment, send his ass back down to NXT. There's nothing wrong with this. You're not changing his paycheck. There's nothing wrong with sitting there saying, all right, now that Enzo is gone, for sure, we got to rebuild you up. And he could have came back from that injury at SmackDown and been the next one to face Aleister Black or whatever. You know, if you want to just thrust him in that moment. You know, or he could have been one of those, like, you know what, we're going to have all these people in the ladder match for the North American title, and we also going to have a surprise entrance, and then re-debut them at that point. I mean, at some point, WWE got to sit there and start saying to themselves, we cannot have these guys learning on the fly. What's the point of having NXT if you're going to just have people come to the main roster and learn on the fly and shit? Big Cass is not a singles competitor. He's always been able to hide his flaws because he's in a tag team. Now he's by himself. You can't hide those flaws. So you got to send him back down there and have him learn and everything and do his thing down there before you just bring him back up. It's just, they got to do these things. You may not want to, but you have to do these things. Otherwise, you know what? Like EJ said, he had you hooked. But then, it doesn't matter if he's heel or face. When you start doing bum-ass fucking promos, now you turn the table right back. Like, nah, I can't fuck with you. Look, this is because of this shit. Look what you're doing. You have me, and then you make me regret even supporting you in that little moment and shit. And so, they just... I'm just going to be a harsher critic, and I'm just saying, man, this match was trash, and it was trash because a Big Cass was in there. I mean, right now, I think I'm going to have to nickname him Big Trash, because that's what he is. He's just Big Trash. Daniel Bryan did his thing.
Slight humor joke. My friend's daughter was over at our house watching Backlash with us, mm-hmm. and Big Cass' name showed up, and, you know, I had the letters, like, first letter of the names, like, highlighted.
Yeah.
So she said, hey, his name is Big A-Word. She didn't see the C. That was freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
So Big Ass. Anyway, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm done. That's all I had to say about that.
All right. Yeah. Next up, we have the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship title match. Carmella defending against Charlotte in her pseudo-official rematch. Carmella got the win. I'll start off with you, Sterl. How did you feel about this matchup?
You already know how I feel about Asuka in that undefeated streak and how she shouldn't have never lost it to Charlotte at WrestleMania. And right now, WWE had just proven why I feel that way. And they gone through and they fucked it up. I mean, this was a monumental moment for Charlotte to take down Asuka. Going 400 and some odd days undefeated. Have not lost a fucking match. And then Charlotte goes out in a match against Carmella by her kicking her in a fucking leg and getting rolled up to in a pin. Like, that shit, they have to understand that this shit also affects that match against Asuka. Because now it's like, what do you do this for? What are you doing it for? Because you're not helping Carmella. You're not helping Charlotte. And then you just screwed over Asuka. That's how I look at this. Because, really? That's how Charlotte goes out? She does a damn flip off, hurts her damn knee, and then all Carmella does is kick her in her fucking leg and pin her? Like, no. I cannot get down with that. I don't dig that shit. That shit was fucking trash, atrocious, and any other fucking word you want to describe that how bad that shit was. Because gross. And the crazy thing is, all you had to do was make one simple change to this match, and I would view it differently. And that is, when Charlotte does that flip, and she hurts her knee, Carmella, all she has to do is super kick her in the face, and pin her, and then it was over. And then I'm like, okay, now you done told the story. Carmella is an opportunist. Opportunity came because Charlotte hurt herself. She took advantage and won. Just like when she cashed in. See, that's how you tell the story. That, to me, that ain't Carmella cashing in. You had Charlotte go out in a weak-ass way and it was fucking horrible. And that shit pisses me off. Because now I have to go back and sit there and say, so what do we do this for with Asuka? You know, Triple H has built her up to be this motherfucking beast and everything. And you said, oh, well, fuck that. We really don't want to do that. We kind of want to hurry up and make her lose. And you could have did so many things in so many different ways. I put on the RBU podcast, you know, I would have just had Asuka be the champion on Raw if you knew you was being Ember Moon in there. And then I would have Ember Moon win Money in the Bank. I would have Ember Moon cash in that same night against Asuka. I would have Asuka turn heel soon afterwards. Because I would have Asuka sit there and say, you motherfucker, you knew you couldn't beat me in a one-on-one match. So you go and you do this shit? But Ember Moon is playing an innocent role like, well, you know, I had the opportunity, I took it. And so that way you could have ended her winning streak real quick. You had the opportunity to actually end the winning streak real quick, but you didn't do it. Instead, you did it I feel like they did it in the ass back way, in the wrong way and stuff. And then, you know, I'm done. That shit, it hurts me. I don't have nothing else because I can go probably a whole hour on my rant about this shit. That shit was just, no. Once again, a head scratcher.
The match was trash. Carmella annoys the fuck out of me. I agree with Sterl. I mean, you know, you let Charlotte come off that great win at WrestleMania, and then you come back and lose to Carmella, and now, like I said, the fashion of the roll-up. I mean, come on. I mean, I just, like I said, I wasn't excited for this match, not 1%. And I just really, it met my expectations. Like, I didn't see Charlotte winning the title. And, but yeah, like I said, the match was exactly what I thought it was going to be. So, garbage.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have high expectations for the match. The finish was super anticlimactic. And like Sterl said, they could have done something different for the finish. They're not starting off Carmella's reign as kind of that, I don't want to say sleazy, but like that sneaky heel very well. And like the way that they have this match, I think is going to be one of those things that they're going to have to dig themselves out of a hole. And it's kind of dig themselves out of a hole in a sense of all the way around, because like Sterl said, there are so many other creative things you could have done. No matter what the end game is, I don't care who Ronda Rousey's supposed to go against in the end of the day, there's other things you could have done. And then even if you were going to have Carmella cash in, you could have easily had her cash in, and then defend the championship in a more competitive match. Mm-hmm. But it's WWE. What do you expect? All right. So next up, we had a no disqualification match for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles defending against Shinsuke Nakamura, which ended in a no contest as they both hit each other with low blows at the same time. EJ, I'll let you go because I know you had plenty of thoughts.
I was actually pleased with the match. I mean, great match to me. The reason I wouldn't say great match. It was a really good match. The reason it wasn't great was because of the ending, but like, the ending was fine with me as well. Like, I didn't really have a problem with it because I didn't really go in. I went into it thinking that Nakamura was going to get the win, but unfortunately he didn't. But he didn't take the loss really because it was a double count out or whatever you want to call it. But, I just love the pace of the match. That crazy spot when AJ got hit in the face with that chair. Scared the hell out of me, busting them open. And you saw the results on SmackDown as well, too. So, but yeah, I mean, like, it was just some crazy. I mean, that was a real stiff match. You know, like, I loved every bit of it. And like you said, you know, when it came to the point when they did the both low blows and they gave it 10, I accepted it at the same time, but I wasn't upset. But, like, I was like, oh, they're going this route. At the same time, I was like, okay, well, it's not over with. The storyline is not over. Even if the title would switch hands, it would have been. It still would have been not finished. So I was happy with the results. And I was happy with the match.
All right, and Sterl.
Love everything about the match, but the ending. And the only reason why is because you just did this. You literally just did this. I forgot who. Like I told you earlier, I blow too many trees to remember shit sometimes. but I do remember. Literally, within the past at least month, you just did a whole thing where both were, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's what it was. You just did that, where they both just beat the shit out of each other to the point where they both were counted out in a no contest. When it's that fresh in your mind, you can't redo that. And that's just my thing. WWE, you got to know this. You got to be aware. You got to be mindful. You got to sit there and think about how fans perceive and see this shit sometimes. And I remember this. I remember this just happened not too long ago when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were fighting for a job on Raw to be on Raw. This is what y'all did. And then you want to come back to it and do it again? In less than a month? Less than a month later, you came back and you did the same shit. So, I don't understand that. But other than that, this match was great from start to almost finish. And these dudes, the reason why you love AJ Styles is because he can get in that ring right. And he can take those stiff shots. He can take those blows. And the reason why you love Shinsuke Nakamura is because he's so animated. And he can also take those shots. And he can give those shots. And it makes for a great match. It makes for a great story telling in the match. And what they're doing right now with these two is next level, and I'm happy to see that. I just didn't like the way that match ended, though.
Yeah, for me, it was anticlimactic. Again, I don't like no decision finishes, so they drive me crazy. Even time limit draws. There was a time period in ROH where they kept doing it. It was driving me nuts. But nevertheless, the match itself, like we've all said, was awesome. Like, number two match that night, definitely. But it was just... even if AJ was going to win, I would have been cool with that. But a no decision... I didn't even think about the fact that this happened with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens already. It was just the fact that they did a no decision in this match because I wanted something to happen. But yeah, I mean, other than that, really, really good match. And let's see where it goes. Like EJ said, this definitely isn't the end. So let's see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So next up, we had a tag team match. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley defeating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Still, I'll let you go first since this was a Raw match.
I mean, obviously, it ended the way I thought they would end. That's with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley coming out on top. Once again, though, them showing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, being able to hang with them and wrestle with them and stuff like that, I think it's a good thing, and I think that's the direction that WWE should go with all their damn matches. And I like every last one of these guys and shit. They go out there, they perform, they do their thing, and you never really left disappointed when they're out there and they're allowed to wrestle. And that's what they were allowed to do in this match. And this match had no implications on anything. For nothing. It was just, this was honestly, could have been a pre-show match. There was no real feud going on in between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with Bobby Lashley or Braun Strowman. There's no feud at all. So it's just, we really just got a regular match that they put on the pay-per-view, and they went out there and they performed, did their thing. And this was that nice, whatever you call it, just like that break match in between the championship match with AJ and the match with Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. I mean, this was like, if this was supposed to be that bathroom break, you really didn't have to go to the bathroom. I mean, I think you would have been left satisfied with this match. That's all I got on it.
EJ?
I wouldn't say it was a bathroom break, but it was definitely a bear run. It was okay. I think like something I was seeing on SmackDown or Raw. And like I said, I just, you know, I kind of try to put, even though I'm let down a lot of times, but I try to put pay-per-view matches on a higher pedestal. So the fact that you give me a TV-type match and nothing different from what I would see on a TV-type match, I kind of give it a low rating. Or I kind of lower my rating for it in the first place. But like I said, it was entertaining. And definitely in the end, it was entertaining. And like I said, the results was what I thought it would be as well. I didn't really feel that Sami Zayn and KO was going to beat them. But also, I kind of thought that maybe, possibly, somebody was going to turn on somebody as far as Braun and Bobby for some strange reason for a second. But he immediately went away once they raised their hands together and all that type of stuff. But like I said, it wasn't a bad match, but like nothing really memorable from me that I could take from it that I actually want to actually just, I guess, speak on too much. Braun just pretty much just destroyed everybody like usual, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was funny.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with both of you guys in a way. For me, it wasn't a bad match when I saw it again, but it definitely was a break for me. Only because this could have been a pre-show match. It didn't really have any implications, and I would have preferred to see maybe Ruby Riott and Bayley on the main card in the pre-show because of the pace of this match. It just seemed like clearly it's supposed to be a buffer between Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. But this wasn't like I don't know. It just was kind of a dud. It's something I could have seen. I could have seen in our main event, to be honest. It just really wasn't.
Shit. Fuck.
What really happened, bro? Like, what really happened? It's like a waste of time.
Obviously, you knew they were never going to put it on the pre-show because of the names that were attached to it. But, I mean, it was just one of those things. Why was this ever a match on Backlash?
Why? What do we need to do this for? I feel like it was just a way for them to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Like, we put them on the card, so you got to go out there and go do something. And they made it an entertaining match, but again, this could have been all wrong.
Yeah.
All right. So, and right, clears that throat. This is hilarious. Roman Reigns defeated Samoa Joe. Just because EJ's making me laugh, I'm gonna go with EJ first. EJ, how did you feel about this match?
Are we doing light work of it right now? And we can jump into it more later after everybody get their pieces on the match, or should we just go ahead?
Go ahead. I don't have much to say. I'm gonna just tell you right now. I'm gonna just start this off.
Okay.
I'm not gonna sit here and go in on Roman Reigns or anything. It's all I'm gonna say is why. Why did Roman Reigns have to go over? Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't hurt Roman Reigns to lose. Especially if you're not going to put him in a match at Money in the Bank against Brock Lesnar. I mean, just why? I mean, and you hear the rumors about how WWE is disappointed. Vince McMahon made the change mid-match at WrestleMania because he didn't like how the crowd was reacting to Roman Reigns. And so, I don't even believe this shit. I don't believe that shit. I believe WWE is booking the matches the way they booking them. And they trying to convince us that they don't really vibe with Roman Reigns because he's not getting that fan love. But you still continue to try to push this fucker down our fucking throats. And that's some bullshit. I just don't get that shit. I mean, don't tell me these fucking stories. No, you had Brock Lesnar going over the whole fucking time. He had Brock Lesnar going over at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And it's like you wanted to have these matches go the way they went. So then when Roman Reigns go against people like Samoa Joe and shit like that, or Finn Balor, and he gets over them and stuff, that you can justify why he went over against those guys and stuff. But no, what you're doing is you're still giving us this fucking fuckery. You're trying to give us the runaround, and I'm not your fucking side bitch. You're going to treat me like a main dish, goddammit, and I don't like this motherfucker. Stop forcing this fucker down my goddamn throat. I'm tired of this shit, and look, I said I was going to keep it short. EJ, go ahead. Just go. Just
hey, go. EJ. Okay. Hot Ted. First of all, I was already disappointed. I felt the same way I felt at WrestleMania. Even though my expectation as far as that was already limited because I already knew how he was going to do it. But I was already disappointed at Backlash, the fact that AJ Nakamura went on before the main event. I actually felt like, okay, this is the title, the only WWE title, as far as you want to compare that with the Universal title, only WWE main event title that's on the show, they got to close with AJ Nakamura. They got to. No, there's no reason why they shouldn't. And the fact that this came on at, I guess, like 8:45. I mean, AJ Nakamura came on like at 8:45 or whatever time it was. I was already pissed the fuck off, period. Because, like, you're diminishing, once again, as they've been doing for the last couple of months, your real legit title, the heavyweight title, and you're putting down in the middle of the show and closing with a rivalry that we've seen before. And I understand, it's an interesting rivalry, but like, we've seen this before. We've seen Joe versus Roman Reigns. So the fact of the matter is they gave this man the spotlight once again. He's been on a losing streak and Joe just came back. I mean, it's like, why are we closing the show with this again? And on top of that, you have Joe on SmackDown making all these threats say I'm a be AJ. I'm gonna be Nakamura, whoever's in my way. And you have him lose to a wrong guy and has to go back to SmackDown. Can't even pick up the rivalry once again. Unless he's included in the Money in the Bank match and Roman Reigns is included. Like, if they do it that way, but please, God, don't. But why are they constantly, like Sterling said, I don't want to get on the rip and rant about this shit all the time, but, like, why are they constantly giving this man the time of the day to try to make us like him and accept him? We're going to keep giving you the same results, and you got other guys sitting on the sideline and ain't doing shit. Like, you're not elevating your talent because you're so busy pushing Brock Lesnar, or you're so busy pushing Roman Reigns to the spotlight. And like I said, I think it was just a huge smack in the face, no pun intended, the fact that AJ Nakamura once again is outshined, not in the ring, but as far as the headlining of this pay-per-view, mm-hmm. when they are fighting for the title, the WWE title, not the Universal title, not the IC title, not the US title, not tag title, the WWE title. The same belt that Brock Lesnar once held, but yet Brock Lesnar's not on show, but you close it with a rivalry match. Mm-hmm. And I just understand, I felt like AJ and Nakamura, which we all, I think we agree on, had the way better story and build. They've been building this since Royal Rumble.
No question. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you go this route, it really upset me. Like, I really couldn't pay attention to this match at all. I was already upset. I'm like, bullshit. And then the fact that Joe actually lost, I'm like, what was this for?
And see, here's the thing I find disrespectful. And I know it's WWE doing it. I've convinced myself already. You're doing it. You're trying to convince us that we're not behind Roman Reigns, but you keep showing us each and every fucking moment that you actually are behind Roman Reigns. Because there's no reason why he should have been closing out the show. There's no reason why he should be main eventing Backlash and not have a fucking title. But AJ Styles has the fucking title and he's the third to the last match. Like, that's just insane to me. Just frustrating. Just frustrating.
That was just my take. I mean, I think there's no fault to either one of y'all, but like, I think I had way much more to say and much anger built up in me the last couple of days, but I guess I kind of vented it away and kind of just said, okay, I'm going to come to ease with this and kind of let it go over. But I think if we did this podcast the same night or the day after, yeah, we had a whole separate podcast for it.
But you were very articulate, sir, and that's what counts. What I'll say about the match was I came in with, like, higher hopes than this. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, their first match that they had against each other was really good, right?
Yeah. Second match. So,
kind of like, what is going on? But
even when they gave that fuckboy his win back, that match was still good, too.
I talked about this on my iHeart Wrestling page. I know that they're all on the same travel schedule, but the WWE travel schedule is brutal as hell. So it's almost, I don't want to give excuses, but it's almost unfair.
No, fuck that. Don't give it no excuses. Look, I don't care if some old Joe was in that fucking match. Look, but it lets you know then how trash Roman Reigns is. Because if that would have been Finn Balor, if that would have been AJ Styles, anybody else that Samoa Joe was in that fucking ring with, we would have got a 5-star match. And, you know, by WWE standards, probably. Or even by Dave Meltzer standards, we probably would have got a 5.25 match and shit. I'm just saying. No, I don't care if Samoa Joe was in there. I'm not giving this shit no excuses. That match wasn't fucking good. The outcome wasn't good. And it was all bullshit. Just all bullshit. This match should have opened the show. If anything, I would have just had it open the show. Get this shit out the fucking way. I mean, once again, what implications did this match even have anyway? This match had no implications and shit. So, with it not having any implications, and you're not going to knock Roman Reigns down, so stop fucking lying to me and act like you're going to do this shit. You should have just had some old Joe go over, and this match should have been in the beginning. Period. Fuck that shit. And I'm not going to give it any excuses because I love Samoa Joe and he was in that match and stuff like that. as you know, you really don't want to happen. You really don't want to knock it like that. But I'm glad fans left early. That was the rumor, at least, that would happen. I'm glad fans walked out on this damn match. And just send a message to sit there and say, look, we're not fucking with this shit anymore. And I think we got to continue doing this. In every fucking city, as long as they want to sit there and continue to try to push Roman Reigns down our fucking throats without him getting better, without doing something else with his character, anything, I think fans, and as long as he's closing out the show, should always walk the fuck out at the end. Just say, nope, we're not doing it.
I felt they should always, like, instead of booing, like, I get exhausted booing. Like, I didn't boo John Cena. I didn't boo Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I just feel like the best reaction is no reaction. And that's really what Kurt messes. Like, they feel as long as people are interacting to pay their money, come in the arena and boo and talk shit to these guys. I mean, these Roman Reigns and John Cena or whoever ever they want to boo and they trying to shove down our throat. If you gave them no kind of reaction at all, if it was just quiet, let them hear little girls and kids screaming all day. They'll see that that would make a bigger message than actually give him a reaction. Because I feel like he feeds off of it now. Like he's going, he used to it coming out, so he knows how to ignore it. He knows how to not react to it too much. If he came out there and it was quiet, had this music hit, I think that would send a bigger message. But at the same time, sometimes you can't resist. It's like, I can't stand this motherfucker. I'm going to scream my ass off.
But that so, shit yeah. won't even work. Because you know what's going to happen? What has to happen is people have to walk out. Because that shit won't work. Because remember, right. WWE has done this before where they pump the sound to right. make it seem like people are actually cheering for John Cena. Remember, they did that shit for him and stuff when people were actually booing him and they stopped and stuff like that because obviously people in the arena was like, go home, watch the show, and say, that wasn't sounding like that when we was there. We was booing the shit out that motherfucker and stuff. No, we have to walk out. We just have to walk out.
Depends on how much I paid.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I can treat it like a Ryback match and not really give a fuck. I mean, I'm just saying.
I forgot all about Ryback. Oh wow.
Yeah, and remember? I mean, I remember the last time he was actually. I went to a show and he was there. I didn't see that match. I walked out. I went to concessions. I think that's what we got to do with Roman Reigns. We got to walk out and go to concessions. Or if you main event, we just got to leave the show early. I mean, as long as I got my full...
turn into a heel. It's inevitable. But, you know, I it's just... All in all, from this particular match, I expected a lot more and, again, was kind of let down. But we'll go around and do the grades. EJ, how did you feel about the pay-per-view as a holster?
Give it a C minus. It was, like I said, it had its ups, but it definitely had a lot of downs to me. I felt like I said, it started strong, but like it, the ending, like I said, that AJ not main eventing is horrible to me. I feel like that I really wanted to give it a D, but like it was a good match, and it definitely Seth Rollins and Miz was a good match, so I can't knock it all down.
Two out of eight? Yeah, that's about a D. Yeah.
Snow. Well, first off, it ain't 2 out of 8, and it's an F. And here's the reason why. Because just think about this. What's the one thing you didn't even mention that was supposed to be a match on the show, but didn't happen? Bobby Roode and Elias. That was supposed to be on the show, and they did some fuckery where he was performing, and then all these people was interrupting them. And like, no, I just can't accept this trash. This shit was trash, and I'm not gonna. The only reason why I would ever go back to watch this damn pay per view is to watch the Intercontinental Champion Seth Rollins defeat The Miz. That's the only reason why I would go back. I won't even go back for AJ Styles and Shinsuke. I just won't even do it because the way it ended. I'm just not even going to waste my time because I know how it ended. But Seth Rollins and The Miz is the only reason why I would go back and watch this. And that's going to be the only match I go back and watch. So this shit is an F. Flat out F.
Ouchies.
Yeah. I'm also going to go with a... I'm going to go with a D, actually. I'm going to say C, but I got to go with a D. I mean, the Seth Rollins Miz match was so good. That's like a match that I could rewatch over again. And Shinsuke versus AJ was good to me, except for the ending. But the pay-per-view just, it has so much potential to be better than it was. And it just kind of fell flat. And they got, you know, for you to start off the whole new co-branded pay-per-view, this was not a good indication of the direction these things are going to go. They got a way to invest that $200 million they got with the Saudi shows so that they could do the non-co-branded pay-per-views again, because if this was a thing to save money, they need to go ahead and go back to the other idea, because this didn't work out well the first time. Maybe next time, though. Let me not give up on it right away. But, Sterl, you want to wrap it up first?
Yeah, because now I got a headache talking about this shit. These motherfuckers stress me out. I'm not gonna lie. My blood pressure probably on 10, because I still want to go in on that shit. But, let me woosa. Thanks be to the Lord. Calm down. Be sure to check out 1515 and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any other podcast platform you want to find us on. You just type in 1515 and you find the podcast, such as Equal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love of Hip Hop, The Rundown, Studio Flow, The MWT Podcast, Mac and D Talk TV, and of course The Wrestling Roundtable. If you want to just go straight to our podcast, just type in Wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, Roundtable. You'll find the GTS, RBU, and our special events or pay-per-view podcast that we're doing. If I have time, I think the next time we'll be, can possibly do a special events or pay-per-view podcast will be Dominion. When is that, June 11th?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually think we should do that. I'm going to have the time. I'm going to watch it. I know Miller's going to watch it. So, I'm going to promise y'all this. We're going to do a podcast on that. Especially because Okada versus Omega 4. And I think Omega's going off over. I think that's going to be a monumental thing that happens in the sports entertainment world of wrestling. So, I think we definitely got to talk about that and do a podcast on that. Also, you got Mother's Day this weekend. So go on there, click on the Amazon banner, go support the site, get your mother something. And if you already did, well, fuck it. You got Father's Day coming right after that. So go up, buy something for the dads of the world and shit like that, you know? So with that said, it's me, Stir the Pearl.
It's Miller.
Lady King.
And we out.
Oh, GTS!